What are the weaknesses? So let's understand, we've seen so far about strengths. Weaknesses is the most important thing. Strengths, you should not become complacent. You know that you need to leverage, and you need to further build on those areas where, those areas that bring a lot of value to your core, core business. As far as weaknesses are concerned, it could be the capabilities the company lacks. So these are the areas that I lack. I don't have a clear marketing strategy, but I have a good product. So this product, if combined with a good sound marketing strategy, will be able to help you in terms of increasing your sales, increasing your financial performance, thereby achieving the profitable growth over a period of 3 years, 5 years that you've set for yourself. Financial resources. I lack financial resources. How do I raise my financial resources? Because I'm struggling to pay salary. I'm not able to build new facilities. I'm not able to update obsolete technologies in my facilities. So I need more money. I need more funds. I need more capital. I don't have operating capital, for example. One is a capex, the other one is opex. So I am not able to invest into new facilities and new equipment and new technologies, because thereby I am able to produce newer products and cutting edge products. At the same time, I don't have the operating expenses. I don't have funds to meet the operating expenses. People leave because you are not able to pay salary. So this could become a major bottleneck in your growth. Aspects to be avoided in company's product. So these are things which you should take care. Factors that will adversely impact the company's sales. You need to list down what are the factors. If I do it, it is going to impact my. So you need to eliminate some of the processes, some of the areas which you are present, which are unproductive, which are not needed anymore for your organization's growth. So you have to identify those factors which are adversely impacting your company's sales. So that is very important. Perception of people related to company's weakness. How do people perceive this company in terms of weaknesses? Do they see it way that this company I'm not likely to do business with. I'm not likely to buy products and services from this company. This company lacks that kind of leadership or innovation in terms of why I should buy the product. This product is a dull product. This product doesn't meet my requirements. This has become obsolete. So nobody buys, today, whether it is the whole industry is moving at a fast pace, things are changing by the minute. So you have to be on feet in order to, deliver products and services to, completely attract new customers, new segments of customers, new markets. So it is very, very critical. So how does the market perceive your organization's weakness? So you should know the market pulse. This is the market pulse. So then you can make corrective plans and actions. So opportunities, we talked about. So the first two set of attributes, the strengths and weakness, are related to the internal environment, the capabilities of an organization, whether it is strength or weakness. Now let's come to the external attributes. Opportunities, they present huge potential for the organization to tap those potential opportunities and then leverage in terms of business value, in terms of financial performance. So good opportunities company can spot. So you need to identify the list of opportunities that you can address, and then clearly have a debate with strategic management team in terms of how you want to, which opportunities you want to go after. So you have to prioritize your list in order to be able to succeed in your strategy. Interesting trends the company needs to track, because there are many interesting trends happening in the marketplace. So you need to be very watchful and be on the lookout to capture those interesting trends happening ahead of time, so that your marketing team and the R&D team can start working together to conceptualize and productize the new idea and deliver it with a faster time to market, faster go to market kind of strategy. So that's very important. Market segments and product segments that the competition are not addressing. So you need to identify the gaps in the market, So market gaps are identified which the competition is not addressing. So you need this idea to be filled with your new product and service. So that is another new opportunity for the company to address. So this is a very important, these two trends and the gaps in the market. If you are able to address these two, I think you are almost covering more than 80% of what you can address in the market in terms of potential business that you can bring to your company. Now let's come to the second environment, external factor, which is analysis of threats. There are obstacles the company is facing. You know, there are policies, there are regulations, there are industry competition, there are newer competition coming in from the foreign markets. You know, suddenly a recession comes, you know, Lehman Brothers kind of, you know, event happens, and then the global markets go into a tailspin. So how do you prepare your organization to be ready for such threats, face such threats, and protect your organization by not becoming a victim to such threats and risks? So it's very important. Obstacles that the company is facing. Quality standards is changing day by day. So how do you cope up with those challenges? Changing technology, threatening. Technology is getting obsolete day by day. Every year, new technology is coming. So how do you build those capabilities in your strategy? How do you build those plans into your strategy? It's very, very important. Changing technology, debt levels and cash flow problems. Your company is, you know, having huge debt, and then, you know, investors are selling your stock. So that creates a problem for your, you know, because you have pledged your corporate, you know, shares to raise funds with the banks. So what if the market value of the stocks go down? So you'll be under pressure to raise margin money. So thereby you get into a vicious cycle of your stock going down further down, and you know, you'll not be able to sustain unless you you know, sell off your non-core assets and then start the paying off the debt and then building more confidence into the financial system. So I think it's very important, you know, the company finances managed, you have the right equity to debt level. Thereby the investors look at your company that you're accruing value in the long term to the shareholders. So regulatory actions and its government policies that will impact the company. Any adverse, you know, there are many good things which are happening. The foreign direct investment is being opened up in the different sectors like retail, insurance, defense, aviation. So these industries could, you know, positively benefit. There are areas where, you know, some local companies get impacted because, for example, retail. If foreign direct investment in retail will impact the Indian companies who have already put money in the retail business. So those could, you know, possibly can hurt the existing companies in that particular vertical or an industry segment, you know, or it could be any product, you know, a company. Chinese products are being imported today. So capital goods from China. So Indian capital good companies are, you know, it's hurting the Indian capital goods companies. So obviously the import is, you know, allowing import from other countries will impact the performance of companies, Indian companies, which have already invested in that particular segment. So these areas you need to clearly understand. Board's assessment and SWOT analysis need to possess adequate knowledge. The board should be capable of understanding and they should have the industry experience and expertise to have, you know, to do an assessment. These are the strategies that we need to go for my industry, for my business, for my organization. And then this is how, you know, I build my strategy, formulate my strategy. Long-term stability of the board. You have to have stable board with, you know, executive directors and independent directors. So the stability of the board is very important because, you know, you have knowledge and expertise being shared by the members of the board in order to, you know, grow the company from one level to another level. The ability to represent the diverse interest of all stakeholders. So do you have the, you know, ability to, you know, address all the, you know, address the interests of all stakeholders. The stakeholders can be the investors, the management, the employees, customers, partners, the society at large. So society is also part of the ecosystem, and society is a stakeholder in your business. So we'll talk about that in the next subsequent slides. Balanced stockholding and bondholding by the board. So you have to have the right equity and debt, which I said earlier also. You have to have a balanced, the investment coming from a balanced portfolio of investors who are putting money in the form of equity, and financial institutions putting in the money in the form of debt, corporate debt. So otherwise, if you're depending on, if that company is entirely funded by equity, it's good, because you can, you can invest and then invest into the right areas, productive areas, which will add more value to the company's stock value. Executive management assessment. So first is a board level assessment, then next is executive level management. Executive management assessment of SWOT analysis. Background and capabilities of top managers. Your leadership team, the management team should have, the right level of capability, should have the industry domain experience. They know this strategy is going to work, this strategy is not going to work, right? So that becomes a foundation of strategic management process. It can positively impact, but if the right people are not there, it can negatively impact as well. Tenure on the top management, because you need to have, it helps the stable, consistent strategy development. The continuity is very important. If every year the leadership team changes, so what happens, the continuity, gets impacted to a major extent. Because every time, every year, you can't build new strategies. Strategies can be dynamic, it can be refined every year to reflect the market reality, but you cannot completely redo the strategy and then every year new leadership team is there. Because of that, the new CEO joins and then he brings in a new strategy along with him. So the stability will go for a big toss. Individual top managers lead the strategy execution and implementation processes. The middle, the senior level management, the managers, and the middle level managers who are entrusted with the strategy execution process, they should have the right capability. They should bring in value in terms of domain expertise, in terms of engaging with people under them, in terms of carrying on the vision and objectives, strategic objectives, into a flawless execution. Line managers. Next comes to line managers, the individual lines of businesses. Availability of comprehensive resource planning program. So you need to have a clear proactive system and process in place for planning your resources. Ensuring that the organization has talent management and retention program, which I said, human resources is one of the important cornerstones of strategic management process. So in the strategy formulation process. So obviously human resources, talent management and retention management, these two become very critical part of the employee engagement. Training and development is an incentive, it's a motivation to the team, to the employees, to retain them in the long run. And they come and contribute, there is a saying, what if I invest on the employees and they get trained, and then what if they leave the organization? Which happens, so you get certified on a particular area of technology or a particular area of functional domain expertise. Then you leave the organization, whatever you have invested, it is gone. But what if you don't train them, they will become obsolete. The people resource will not be able to catch up in terms of market demand, market requirements. Thereby, your people will not be in a position to address the market requirements. They will not be in a position to put a competitive strategy, a cutting-edge strategy, which will help the organization in terms of its future growth. So training and development, you have to invest. It's a long-term investment, strategic investment, not to look at one or two people will be leaving, hence I don't want to invest. That myopic kind of approach should not be taken. Levels of attrition, especially at key positions. So how do you arrest the attrition levels, at very key, key talent positions? So employee engagement, talent management, key talent program, retention program, long-term incentive plan, training and development. These are few things that you can do to ensure that levels of attrition are controlled in key functional areas, because these positions will add a lot of value to the company's financial performance. effectiveness of performance appraisal, the PMS system in performance management system has to be effective. It should not be subjective, it should be very objective. Every employee should know what their KRAs are, what their KPIs are. It's all clearly metric driven. So it's very important to say that the PMS cannot be just an eyewash. And at the end of the year, the manager spends some time, you know, try to evaluate the employee subjectively. No, it is a very objective. It should be done on a quarter-on-quarter basis, half-yearly basis, and the yearly basis. So performance appraisal systems should be very objective-oriented. The objective should objectivity should be clearly established, and everybody should be measured on the KPI metrics. The effectiveness is the most important thing. So organizational resources we talked about. You know, how do we you know, manage all of that under the SWOT analysis? Consistency in corporate and business functional level strategies. So we talked about three level strategies in the last three chapters: corporate level strategy, business unit level strategy, and functional unit level strategy. So there should be consistency and uniformity and linkage between all the three. All the three should move in tandem, because you cannot have disparate strategies and then expect the organization to achieve its innovation. That's not possible. Consistency in organization strategy and mission, that is, your mission is this and your strategy is this. So these two have to have mapping and have to have consistency with each other. Consistency between organization strategy and culture. So that is very important. Your organization strategy, mission is this, your strategy is this, your culture. So you need to create value system that becomes the culture of the organization, that becomes the DNA of the organization in order to in order to move forward, and that movement is consistent with a strategy and mission. So that culture is very important. Consistency between organization strategy and its structure. You cannot form a structure and form the strategy. You are putting people in place because you know some people. I want to satisfy those people and then put them into some positions and then start building the strategy. First starts with mission, second is your strategy, third is your structure. So strategy follows mission, structure follows strategy. That's how the sequence should be: mission, strategy, and structure. So consistency between the different levels of strategy making should be achieved. Without that, the whole organization will not move in one direction, because if you start moving in different directions, you will not see the forward movement. So the forward movement will only happen if there is consistency between corporate level strategy, business unit level strategy, functional unit level strategy, consistency between strategy and mission, consistency between strategy and culture, consistency between strategy and structure. So these are the few things that you need to keep in mind while doing the strategy formulation. Position in the industry. You need to know what position that I have. Am I in the leadership position? Am I a challenger? Am I a visionary? Am I a niche player? Am I a laggard? So these are the different levels that you can define your organization, your business. So clearly, if you baseline your industry, baseline your business with respect to your industry, then you'll be able to clearly put the, this is the milestone that I want to achieve in the next 1 year, two or three years. So otherwise, if you don't baseline your position, you'll not be able to clearly make the strategy work. Level of product quality and service. So this is very given. It has to be taken care. Otherwise, you cannot sustain. You cannot exist in the market. So that the strategic manager should know. These are all organizational resources. So we need to do an analysis. Reputation of the organization in the market. What kind of reputation you are bringing in? We've talked about it earlier in this chapter. What kind of branding? Are you an aggressive brand? Are you a brand which is associated with a particular attributes of a value system? Are you a brand which is known for only marketing? Are you a brand you're known for your service standards? Are you a brand you're known for your society contribution to the society? So your association of your brand with the market, with the environment, is very important. So how the organization is being perceived, what kind of reputation you have built over a period of time, what kind of reputation you want to build, credentials you want to build going forward. So all that decide your strategy. So let's talk about physical resources. So we have seen about the HR resources, we have talked about the financial resources, we have talked about organizational resources. Now we are going to talk about physical resources. Currency of technology. So, has the technology in line with what the market needs? Am I able to produce products and services the market requires? Have I become obsolete? So you need to ask these questions. Currency of technology. In terms of upgradation, innovation, refreshment, you need to continuously invest. You need to continuously be innovative. Distribution network, reach and penetration. Do you have the right level of market reach capabilities? Go-to-market capabilities. Are you a direct sales organization, direct marketing company? Are you a channel-driven company? Are you a distribution network company? So you need to have the reach and penetration in various regions in order to achieve your strategy. Production capacity. Do you have any constraints on the production? There is a huge demand, but your production is capped at a particular level. So you're not able to encash on the market opportunity that is there, but you're going on the fixed, capacity kind of a model, which is not going to work. So how are you able to, what is the power that you have to increase or decrease your capacity based on the market demand, so you don't lose market share, you don't unnecessarily waste your idle capacity also. So that is very important. How resilient your organization is in terms of resource planning and capacity planning. Access to cost-effective and reliable supplies. So are you able to is your factory situated near the source of the raw materials that the company needs? So are you able to transport it with the least cost? Are you able to get manpower at optimum cost? Are you able to train them and then put them on the job at the minimum cost? So you need to look at the cost-effective means of bringing reliable supplies in order to make the final product available to the market. Key locations leading to low cost. So what are the key locations you're looking or I would like to give an example of Titan. Titan Industries is part of the Tata Group, which was a watchmaking company. It's become a lifestyle company, marketing, producing and marketing jewelry and et cetera, lifestyle things, lifestyle products. So they started the factory in Hosur. They brought in hundreds of young people, graduates. They put them into the training and they, groomed them into the factory engineers. So I think this is a tremendous effort from Tata Group when they started their factory in Hosur in Tamil Nadu. I think the credit goes to the Tata Group in terms of giving employment, giving social opportunity. And then, you're not bringing people from the big cities like Bangalore or Chennai. You are actually going around the nearby neighborhood and you're bringing those people who are actually, living below the per capita productivity and giving more opportunities to them for a, great livelihood. So I think that's one example. How do you bring cost-effective resources to your organization in the strategy formulation process? Key locations, that's what I was referring to. Hosur being a low-cost location, but you're not compromising on the quality. Your strategy is very clear. I want low resources, but I want to help them. At the same time, I'm able to have economic benefit and social impact. I think these two things, this is the purpose of the organization. So you can make an economic impact and a social impact. If these two can be balanced, I think you will have everything else fall in place. Now we are coming to the important tool, which is strength, weakness, and opportunity threat matrix, which is after the SWOT analysis, you have captured the top three or four strengths, weaknesses, and opportunities and threats. What are the strategic alternatives I need to have in order to achieve my vision? So now let's talk about a company in this particular slide. This company has financial stability, good brand name and recognition, large internal cash balance, technology and product capability, and customer service. This is on the strength side. On the weakness side, loss of market share in one business, gaps in product mix. They don't have the full life cycle of all the products. No international presence, low margin business line, over dependence on partners. So this is a weakness. Opportunities, the market is presenting a fast growth for services, a competition with complement products. There is a competition available with complementing products. Demand from global markets. Obviously, demand is there, so you can expand into global markets. threats, increasing competition, government policy and taxation hitting margins, customer churn. Once this is laid out from the analysis of the SWOT, so these are the areas, three or four areas that I want to focus on. You've got number of strengths and number of weaknesses and number of opportunities and number of threats, but I want to focus on three or four. So now, what are the strategic alternatives? There are six strategic alternatives that you can think of. Acquire a competition with complementing products, which is a combination of you've got financial stability, you've got large cash balance, you can go for a buyout. Weakness, you have gaps in products, you have opportunity of competition with complementing products. So you can acquire the company. So that is why acquire a competition with complementing products. Sometimes exit the business with high competition and low margin because of government policy. So we are talking about weakness four, low margin business line is there. So I want to divest this or sell off that, liquidate that particular business line, exit the business with high competition and low margin. So it's a combination of W4, weakness four, T1, increasing competition and customer churn. Government policy on taxation. Leverage customer service and services marketing to arrest customer churn. S5 is customer service. At the same time, O1 opportunity is fast growing in service. T3 is customer churn. So you're combining this and have a clear marketing plan to leverage the customer service and how do I arrest the customer churn, right? Acquire modern technology and expand launch of new product lines. So again, S3, cash balance. S4, technology and product capability. Opportunity one, fast growing in service. So this is how you arrive at the strategic alternatives and options. You know, form strategic alliance with a suitable foreign firm to enter newer markets and enter the global market. You know, so first you cannot set up your own business there. So you need to first have a feel of your business there in the newer market. So for that you need to have a JV or you need to have a partnership alliance with a local firm which is having tremendous marketing capability. S1, S2, which are clearly your brand is known. For example, Tata Nano, while it was not a hit in India, it has been rebranded. It has been relaunched in Indonesian market. So next 6 months, the Tata Motors will monitor this particular product line in that local, in that foreign market, and then come and relaunch the Nano product in India. I think that's a tremendous example of forming this this strategy. Where you're trying to launch a new product in the foreign market with your local presence there. Initiate lobbying with government to address the policy issues. So you can address the government policy issues on taxation, through your brand name, through your financial stability capability, weakness, loss of market share. You can go and present a business case to the government saying that I am losing market share because of competition from outside. So how do we take care of the opportunity that is available in the local market. So these are the six strategic opportunities that you can come out with, and then the organization can have a clear strategic roadmap. This is how the strategy formulation evolves, right from a SWOT analysis to a SWOT matrix. It's a framework which any organization can use in order to formulate the strategy. Choosing the best strategic alternatives. Now you've got six options. So which are the ones that you will choose? Ensure that the strategic manager is clear about the current challenges, your vision, your current challenges, your market, your aspirations, your objectives, and the decision criteria. You need to have a clear decision criteria. These are the areas that I'm going to have strategic projects I'll be running. These strategic projects will be clearly KPI'd in terms of metrics, measurement, monitoring, and evaluation, which we'll see it in the next chapter. Consistent with mission and other strategies, communication with all the stakeholders, which is very important. Your board, the top management has to inform the board, the employees, your customers, your partners, the market at large. Communication is a key element in the overall strategy making process. Need to fit a company's product life cycle position. So how do you clearly fit the company's product life cycle into your overall strategy? So that positioning has to be very clear. Management ethics and social responsibility. There's a separate chapter on corporate governance and social responsibility. We'll be talking in detail about that. However, I want to touch upon a few things in this chapter itself, because it's part of the strategy formulation process. You have to align your corporate governance system also with the strategy formulation process. The first one is integrity. Honesty in dealing with everything, stand for right. Respect, treating everyone with dignity and fairness. Accountability for actions and honor and commitments. Responsibility, conduct business as a responsible citizens. Corporate social responsibility is pursuing sustainable business in the form of self-regulation integrated into the business model. So how much you're contributing back to the society in terms of the various programs that you can think of. Today, Indian Companies Act has stipulated that 2% of your profit has to be earmarked for corporate social responsibility programs. So it is compulsory, it is mandatory today for any listed company to invest back into the society, which becomes part of their vision now. So it is not your financial performance or economic interest, but also the social interest that you are able to demonstrate in the long run. From a summary standpoint, we have seen, the whole, right from strategy formulation to, SWOT analysis, introduction of, SWOT analysis, strengths, weaknesses, and, opportunities and threats. We also use those SWOT analysis to form a strategic, form a strategic alternative table, which is a matrix which is given by SWOT matrix. So you have a clear strategic, you come out with clear strategic alternatives and options, and then you choose the best strategic alternative from that list, and then finally the corporate governance becomes a very key part, an integral part of the overall strategy formulation process. Strategic managers must conduct the SWOT analysis, which is an integral part of the strategy formulation process. SWOT matrix generates strategic alternatives and options by combining the internal and external factors analyzed in the SWOT analysis that you've seen. Corporate social responsibilities and code of ethics and conduct should be integral parts of the strategic decision-making process. So with that, we come to the end of strategic formulation process. And I hope you've enjoyed listening to this lecture. If you have any doubt, you can send me your queries through vSchool. I'll be more than glad to address them. So I thank you for your attention, and thank you so much for attending to this class. I'll be meeting you in the next chapter, strategic execution and implementation. Thank you.